what you realize is that you might be big in your world, but you are not big in the world. And I keep thinking about that. And then I ask myself, how do I just become bigger in my world? And my world is mostly people in leadership. My world is you're an entrepreneur or a business owner and you are running your own business and you are leading people in that business. You are a middle manager in a corporate, you're an exec or a CEO in a corporate, and you are leading people. That's actually my world that I deal in. And so actually the question should be, how do I just become bigger in my world, in that world?
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Expansive Podcast. It's wonderful to have you with us today. And as usual, we're always talking about things that make us more expansive, both in our personal lives and in our business lives. We believe that the holistic approach to developing a more expansive future is really based on thinking bigger and feeling deeper. And when you're able to think bigger and feel deeper, you're able to bring a much more coherent way of being creative and accessing the future. Today also is a very special day for us because we are going live onto YouTube, onto Facebook, and onto LinkedIn. We're using the Riverside platform to be able to extend what we are doing out into the world. And it's really been motivated by a guy called Alex Formosi. If you don't know who he is, definitely check him out. But we'll be unpacking what he's been doing and how he's been showing up in this new world in today's episode. But as always, I am joined by my ever handsome co-host, Eric Kruger. Eric, what's up, brother? How are you doing, my man?
Hey, dude. Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm trying to see if we are live on all the platforms that we need to be live on. Because I'm seeing LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook is all slowly connecting. But you know, with tech, like I was doing a talk for Emirates NBD last week. And so I had this like cool idea of, and I've done this 1,000 times when I do sort of talks where I don't want to do a presentation, but I want to do like a whiteboard and like talk through like ideas and write it out. I'll connect via my camera for my feed. But then I'll connect my Surface as a whiteboard to the session. And it always works perfectly well. I share the screen for my Surface. I'm able to write, no problem. We get onto the call with Emirates. It just bombs. Like for 10 minutes, I'm like trying to figure this out. And there's 300-400 people waiting to listen. And I'm like, we can't get this right. And of course, it was Microsoft Teams. That was the big difference, a Zoom call versus a Microsoft Teams call.
We're not allowed to swear on this podcast. We decided. Why are you saying that word Teams?
Kapur. Yeah, I'm sorry. Kapur. It is the bane. It's the bane.
I saw a great meme. It said, when I get an invite and has a Teams link to it, I see it as a point of aggression. Or as a movement of aggression. I don't like it. I take offense. Yeah, micro aggression. Talking about Microsoft, did you see what Elon Musk is launching? Elon Musk is launching? Macro hard. That's so Elon Musk. What are you launching? Macro hard. Oh, brilliant. Microsoft. Yeah, brilliant.
Dude, it's so funny, eh? You are in Zurich today.
I am in Zurich. I'm speaking for Swiss Re, who are the reinsurance company for all the insurance companies. It's my second time back working with them, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's their exec, it's their new leaders that they are. Their board, you know what's so funny? It's their board has given their new set of leaders 5 questions to workshop and to figure out what the future is about. And as the team was taking me through those 5 questions and 5 directives, I went back to them and I said, I don't think these questions are good enough. I think these questions are regurgitating everything you've ever known. And there's a great quote that I've started to use in my talk. And it's actually a quote from my own new book. It's, they didn't fail because they weren't agile enough. They failed because they were sprinting in circles within an outdated paradigm. Agility in a broken system is just faster irrelevance. And this is such an important quote to get in your head because you think you're being busy, but you're being busy creating more efficiency out of combustion engines, which the world of the future requires EVs. So this is the problem with most corporates, and really smart and very fastidious and very successful corporates is that we keep regurgitating everything we've always known. And because we're working hard at it and having conferences, we think that's what's going to get us into the next step. And really, it's not. And so looking forward to changing the questions. And I think this is something we spoke about in our networking masterclass is the real way to gain a power dynamic with a client or with whoever you're working with on a brief or any of those things is help your client change the question that they're asking you. In that space, what you do is two things. You educate them and you own the power dynamics in the conversation. And it's always a... You know, it's soft power that you have to bring across because you have to listen to the questions, you have to be elegant in your response to them, and then you have to say, look, I have a slight suggestion. I think the question would be better asked in this way about this thing. And it was funny because the people that were briefing me from the company were all like, oh shit, he's right. Those questions aren't large enough when you start to realize the change that's coming, you know? So yeah, really looking forward to it. And thank you so much, Swiss Re, for inviting me back. And yeah, this is what we do. We don't come in to pat you on the shoulder. We come in to stretch your imagination.
You know, I think ultimately that's probably one of the best gifts you can give someone is a better question.
That's right.
And it can be tough because, you know, as you said, like from your vantage point, you develop a certain set of questions based on your competence, your expertise, your experience. And very often what you need is someone to provide you with a completely different question for you to ponder. And I see this in coaching pretty much all the time, is that all you are really trying to do is to get people to think about things they haven't thought about before or to think about it from a slightly different perspective. And I think in today's world, number one, what you really need is a different question. So like you are doing here. And number two, and I'm going to publish something just a bit later today on this, is I think we need to call our shot a bit more. We're in a world where there are so many questions being pushed at us all the time. And I think what this often leads to is just indecisiveness. You know, there's just so many, like you take Swiss Re as a good example now, 5 questions. But within those 5 questions live multiple complexities and multiple things that will need to be moved around. And like it's 5 questions with huge repercussions and consequences. And so we can sit with those questions for a very long time and we want to make sure we get the answer right. But the problem is that the longer you sit with it, the more you fall behind. And what you might find yourself doing is drowning in indecisiveness. Whereas what you'd rather do is just do something. It's like, call your shot. Say like, this is what we're going to commit to. And if it's wrong, it's fine. You can change it. But at least then you are learning something in the process. And I think very often we just get paralyzed by all of the things happening around us. And so the piece that I'm publishing is like, call your shot and then back yourself. Because the moment you call your shot, it also gives you a lot more energy and like you want to pursue it, you want to fight for it, and your people want to fight for it. Whereas if you like always like, we'll see, like, let's see where we go. Let's, you know, no one feels enthused and inspired by that. Like draw a line in the sand and just go for it. And we'll see what happens off the back of it.
Look, I agree, but I also want to remind you who was it that said, if you asked me to solve the future problem, I would spend 98% of the time devising the question and only 2% of the time answering it. And I think that's really also key. Like, take your shots, sure. But if you haven't spent enough time devising the right question, you know, direction is more important than speed. And so, yes, take your shot. But if you haven't really put in the effort into asking a bigger, broader question outside of your comfort zone, you're really just regurgitating. And regurgitating at speed means you go into irrelevance even quicker. So, yes, I think we're saying the same thing, but I think it's just a little bit more preparation before you actually take your shots. I think it's dangerous sometimes to take a shot in the wrong direction.
I think it's about... I'm not saying don't spend time thinking it through, like do that. But I'm saying at some point, you can't just sit in analysis all the time. And at that point, call your shot. Like that's the thing. It's like draw a line in the sand.
I think today what we want to do is we really want to start to talk about this new directive that's happening around the world when it comes to marketing, launching, personal brand, success of individuals. And we have been watching Alex Formosi do some incredible things online. And we wanted to unpack him and his workshop and what he's just recently done. So, Eric, do you want to take us through what he's recently done? And then we can start to unpack it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been following him for ages. And I remember when he just came online, like his very first YouTube videos that I at least saw was literally like him sitting in like what looked like a closet, like a broom room, like I don't know how you would describe it, in like his wife beater, like cut off shirts, and just talking to the camera for like 20, 30 minutes. And it was zero production, zero, I'm sure he put some prep into it, but like, you know, zero technology that's living behind it, none of that. And then you fast forward to today, and like he just recently, on the 16th of August, he launched his new book. I think it's his third book. And like he accomplished some like stupid things with the launch of this book. So essentially in the build-up to that, he recorded like 2,000 ads. So this is just some of the stats that I'm seeing online. 2,000 ads in the build-up to the event happening. Then he hosted two live events, and it was 10 hours of lives that he ran. And he had multiple people come in, and then during the during the live, he was selling the book, but he wasn't just selling like single copies. He was selling bundles of it and coupons of it. So the idea was that he wanted to break the Guinness World Record for most amount of books sold in a short amount of time, which he ended up doing. He sold 2.7 million copies in 9 hours. That's insane. Like if you 2.7 million copies in 9 hours.
Million.
But you have to also understand it wasn't just physical copies. It was coupons for the books being sold. So he was smart in how he packaged it. And ultimately, it led him to $81 million for the launch day revenue. $81 million. So, I mean, just mind-blowing the amount of effort and time and the intensity at which he came to with this launch. I think it's made people completely rethink what this could look like. And yeah, maybe I'll let you jump in. I have a few thoughts on that, but maybe jump in. What has your observation been by watching this?
I saw him do a clip that said you should spend a year marketing your business for 4 hours a day. It says if you market your business for 4 hours a day for 1 year, you'll never have to work again in your life. And I thought to myself, wow, that is serious commitment and serious effort. And I realized that I've been seriously slacking. And I am busy online. It's not like I'm not busy online. But I realized that the tempo that I've been taking has been a lot more conservative than I should have been focused on. And I have been pressing the button this year to really market more. But then I messaged you the other day on WhatsApp. I said, what did I say? I said, buckle up, because what we have to do is we have to expand our marketing even further. And really what's got me thinking about this is that in the recent sort of 3 weeks or so, I've had more inquiries than I've ever had in my life. And every time I ask the clients, where did you find me? They're like ChatGPT.
No
and
way.
I was like, yeah. And most of them are ChatGPT. So now obviously ChatGPT is crawling the internet. And because of my 3-4 years of fastidious SEO work with Carl, it's now obviously being picked up by ChatGPT. And I started to realize that there are so many people out there that we have not touched the surface. Even Alex Formosi. Ask people around the world if they know Alex Formosi. And hardly anybody knows Alex Formosi. And he markets 2,000 ads, 4 hours a day, made $81 million. Guys, $81 million in 9 hours work. Obviously, he did all the prep and all his branding. But that is showing us that the world that we're living in today is so predetermined by the attention economy that everything leads off the attention economy. And in just in recent days, I've been watching people online and people aren't that amazing. They're just recording. They're just documenting. It's like even the stuff they're putting out there, it's okay, but they're in my vision. I'm like watching them because that's what we're watching. And so what I'm really moving towards is documentation, more and more and more of just documentation. And I feel both enthused, excited, a little bit overwhelmed, because everything we've done to date is almost irrelevant. And you know, book launches and all these other things, they just don't touch the surface when you start to see what Alex Formosi has done. And so we really have to start to rethink how we approach and how we document and how often we post. So yeah, I mean, it's a big question. It's a big mission that we have to get to.
I think it's, you know, you have this perpetual tension when you're a content creator between volume and, well, quantity and quality. And that's always a big trade-off, because if you're a solo operator, then it's very difficult to push out a lot of content. And at the same time, you very likely might run into burnout. And this is actually something that on YouTube is like prevalent. Like,
big.
You go and look at
that's
YouTube
right.
creators, they burn out all the time
burnout.
Because there's this consistent pressure to be on the platform. Because if you're not, then you know you lose that sort of top of mind from
algorithm.
People. Yeah. And so you want to keep feeding the algorithm, make sure you stay top of mind. But of course, people think it's easy to just flip up a camera and hit record and, you know, you put something out into the world. It's not, because you always want to make sure that you land it. You don't want to just come across. I think at a certain level, there's a certain quality that you do want to maintain. Initially, quantity is good because you're just kind of figuring out the market. Where John Sarnay is at, you want to put a certain quality, like you are known for a certain quality. And so you want to keep a certain quality. And that becomes the tension then, because if you increase volume, do you sacrifice a little bit of that quality to get to that volume? If you don't want to do that, the alternative, and I mean, this is what Alex Formosi has. He has a team of 25 or 30 people who works on his content. So his content is, and I remember at some point, you know, his stuff became highly produced, and it was literally having a producer and writers and editors and videographers on the job or like on salary with him as part of his team, and not just him trying to do all of it. And so I think the only way that you get to maintain quality and quantity is you end up almost hiring big content teams to get there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is eventually you do get there because you have the, you know, the cash flow. I mean, if you think it's Stephen Bartlett also, I mean, he started off by himself and now obviously he's got all these people working around
him.
Huge production. Yeah, and eventually you have to move into that, you know. Yeah, it's a big question, you know, and it's a big commitment that you have to make. And, you know what I spend a month on my service providers, and it's already a lot of money. And I'm not touching the surface, you know. This is scraping the surface. So it's a big new world. Alex Formosi, thank you so much for making us both inspired and useless at the very same time, which is a hell of an emotion to have. Because you're like, geez, I'm doing so well. Actually, I'm not doing well at all. I'm like nowhere. I'm an ant in this big world. How exciting to be able to see. Yeah.
I want to tell you how my mind has slightly shifted because of what I've seen as well, which is to what you said earlier. Like, you go and speak to, if I go and speak to 9 out of 10 people on the street now and I ask them who's Alex Formosi, they'll have no idea, right? And I mean, you can do this across the board. Like, you can take Mr. Beast as an example, and you can go speak to 9 out of 10 people and maybe a few more will know, because he has almost, you know, he almost has 500 million followers on YouTube now.
Close to, just
think about that. He's close to 500 million followers on YouTube. What you realize is that you might be big in your world, but you are not big in the world. And I keep thinking about that. And then I ask myself, how do I just become bigger in my world? And my world is mostly people in leadership. And so my world is, you're an entrepreneur or a business owner and you are running your own business and you are leading people in that business. You are a, you know, middle manager in a corporate, you're an exec or a CEO in a corporate, and you are leading people. That's actually my world that I deal in. And so actually the question should be, how do I just become bigger in my world, in that world? And Alex Formosi, actually, like, one of his big things that he shifted this year was that when he started, he was very entrepreneurial focused. Then he got to this space where he was making like day in the life content and like what do I eat content and like all sorts of things that would make him go viral, but it wasn't putting the right kind of people into his ecosystem. And then he realized that he was making videos, for example, like, if you're broke, do these 10 things to get you out of that situation kind of thing. But then what he was attracting was people who were broke. And that wasn't actually who he wanted to speak to. He wanted to speak to people who could still become customers of his at some point. And so this year he said, actually, we are scaling down the entertainment component of our content. And I'm focusing a lot more on the business, like just back to the basics, back to the business stuff, because that's the people that I want to speak to. And, you know, this has been a perpetual battle in my mind, is that if I speak to leaders, what I do is I narrow the pool a lot. You know, like your chance of going viral for leadership content is a lot less, but you are getting in front of more of the right people. I don't know why my Google Home is speaking to me today all the time. I don't know what I'm saying today. Like, it's never done this during podcasts, but today is like spoken to me twice. But anyway, so like I'm thinking a lot more about how do I just become big in the world of the people that I want to be in front of, instead of being big in the world in front of everyone. And that's been changing my language slightly. It's been bringing a slightly different focus to the content. And what I'm doing is I'm committing to it for 6 months. So I'm in a phase right now where I'm all about experimentation. And I'm putting down specific lines in the sand for X amount of time. And I want to see what happens. Last time I told you about my YouTube experiment that I'm running. And that, you know, over time I'm trying to build up those hooks. And already I'm seeing some results on that. My other experiment is 6 months of committing hardcore to the leadership crowd in terms of the content that I create. And I just want to see what happens. Be like, I'm all about experimentation for now. So let's see. So that's where my head is at regarding content.
Nice. And tell us about the event you spoke about at Emirates, MBD. I mean, how did you get into Dubai? I mean, that's a big client to be working with. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so Emirates, MBD, I got them through. Wait a second. So through you, is that the...
Like, I saw you thinking, like, what's your, how did I?
It's just the weirdest segue. I'm trying to find, like, okay, where was the?
Let's always come back to your sugar daddy, international sugar daddy.
What's the jumping off point? Thank you, John. That's, okay.
No problem. Just, I didn't hear that initially when you said Emirates MBD. I'd like to thank and appreciate my international number one salesman out there. So look, I think we've said a lot about Alex Formosi, and I think both of us are very much on this idea. That's why we live today across YouTube, LinkedIn, and Facebook, because we just realized that, you know, most people don't even know we exist, and this is kind of what it is. But, you know, also, I was sitting on the plane yesterday or the day before, and, you know, in your mind, and you and I have spoken about this, is that sometimes we're like, nobody's listening to our podcast, nothing's going on. I'm sitting on the plane, some guy comes up to me, he's like, hey, John Sonne, how's it? Love your podcast. I just listened to the one yesterday, amazing. And I was like, oh, I forget, you know? Yeah, and we have no sort of touch point of who's listening, when they're listening, what they're listening to. So everybody who's listening, thank you so much, and means so much to us. But I want to segue into another topic. If you have anything to say more about Alex Formosi, just jump in.
Are you announcing segues? Are you announcing segues now? I'm just checking.
Yes, just to not surprise you and get you off because, you know, I want professionalism from my podcast co-host. Yes, I'm announcing it.
Oh, how the tables turn.
That's right. Okay, anything else? Do you want to say anything before we segue?
No, I think we're good. Go for your segue.
So I was listening to this is all going to be a bit esoterical, but bear with me, because when we visit different cities, different countries around the world, we almost are different people. And, you know, you go on holiday, you feel different, you go to Mexico, you had a very different, like, experience of Mexico, even yourself to a certain extent, play a different aspect of who you are. And I've always thought that different cities and different worlds or different countries need you to show up as a different type of person to be successful in that market, right? You can't go to New York and be some hippy-dippy, don't wear shoes. It's not going to work in New York. You know what I mean? Just, it's not the New York type of space. And I remember thinking that Joburg John was a very different John to Cape Town John. And I often used to say that I was an excellent Joburger, because in Joburg, muscles, convertible cars, Rolexes and tattoos was really the thing. You know, in the 90s and 2000s, when I lived in Joburg, that was kind of what you did to be cool, you know? And I've recently gone and blackened my arm, and people ask me, so what happened? Why'd you blacken your arm? I said, I got tattoos when I was 25 years old in Joburg, not because of any other reason that I had a black M3 convertible and I wanted to look cool in my convertible car. It's like, I didn't think past my nose of what I was doing. And in Joburg, that was my armor. And then when I moved to Cape Town, the armor changed. Slip slops, relaxed, life balance, da da da. Then I go to Dubai, and dude, I am a production machine in Dubai. I've never been fitter. I've never put out more content. And then I was listening to this teacher, and this teacher was talking about the fact that we have, oh yes, it was a teacher about abundance. And the abundance teacher was saying, you have to check in with your four bodies to see what your four bodies are doing when it comes to the topic of abundance. And I thought that was a bit strange, but anyway, I carried on listening because I always like listening, even if I don't agree. I'm always a yes and kind of guy. I like to discover new things. And what she said was, you have an emotional body, a mental body, a physical body, and a spiritual body. You have four bodies. And what you have to do is you have to almost create characters or personas out of each one of these bodies and speak to them and ask them if they have any blocks around money. And I did that exercise, and it was funny because my emotional body felt a little bit nervous to bring money in, and my mental body was too logical about bringing money in. And I was like, wow, I'd never even realized that those two bodies, my physical body and spiritual body, didn't have any issues around that. And I've now, for the last sort of 2 or 3 weeks, is really connected with those bodies and spoken to them and put them at rest and coached them into putting more, being more relaxed around bringing more money and more abundance. And off air, I was telling you that I had a discussion with a friend of mine who's a billionaire. I had dinner with him last week, and I was telling him, he was telling me how he makes money and how much money he makes. And I told him that it seems as though he's changed the rules of what money making is like, because he doesn't live in a world where he have to put effort in to make money. He's totally dissolved that world. And so he makes millions a day and billion. Like, I mean, it's ridiculous, the numbers that he makes, very far off from the way I think about money. And look, I'm successful. It's not, I live a great life, but he lives in a different realm. And I know you as well. I mean, the other day you sent me a picture of you walking with your dogs, listening to Dr. Joe's new meditation. I haven't stopped listening to that meditation. It's called the Abundance Meditation. It is the most beautiful, empowering. It's an amazing, amazing meditation. It's one of his best he's ever had. I mean, I've had it on repeat, and it's 90 minutes long. And I started to realize that our emotional bodies not only have their own personas, issues. You know, some people have terrible physical bodies. Like, their physical body is not in a happy place. And you can see this. They're sick or overweight, or, you know, they've got ailments. Their physical body is in an uncomfortable place. But I also started to realize that every city in the world accesses a new type of body. And I realized this because over the last 6 weeks, I've been living in Cape Town. And dude, it has been such an emotional 6 weeks, emotional, like in the depth of my own stories and my brain and in my heart, and almost melancholic in many ways. And I realized to myself, this is not the John who lives in Dubai. Like, John in Dubai never goes through this. John in Dubai is operating, moving, training, eating well. Let me tell you, Cape Town, emotional and eating badly, badly. And I was like, what is going on here? Like, how, this is not this. I don't recognize this person. And I started to realize that, you know, different cities access different parts of who you are. You have to show up. And some cities access your spirituality. And I would imagine living in India, you're not really thinking about your mental body, you're thinking about spiritual body. That's kind of what you do there. It's a spiritual country and it's got spiritual energy. You go to Dubai, no offense to Dubai, I love Dubai. It's not a spiritual capital of the world. It's a mental capital. And so it's mental and it's focused and it's driven. But I think if you have too much spirituality, I don't know if that's so good. And if you have too much mental, that's also not very good. And then when I come to Dubai, Cape Town, it's very emotional, right? And I think what happens to people who live in Cape Town is they become addicted to those emotional spaces, and you start to vortex in that emotional space. And all my friends in Cape Town will say to me, oh, I love the city. I'm never going to leave. Look how beautiful it is. And I'm like, you're absolutely right. It's beautiful. It's just, it's gorgeous on every level. But all you're doing is accessing your emotional body here. You're actually not accessing your mental body, because in Cape Town, work is the enemy. Like, nobody wants to work. It's not a workplace. You know, like, nobody, look at you. I mean, I'm playing paddle, I'm playing golf, and look, it's awesome, but it's not an evolving, moving place. So I think ultimately what's happened to me, and just to close the sort of like monologue off, is spend time in different cities. Spend time in different cities, like time, not just a week, not just 5 days, time, because you get this incredible opportunity to access a different version of yourself, a version of yourself you most probably haven't met before. And then take the time to speak to your four bodies, speak to them about all sorts of different things. And I do this now in a sauna. You know, when I sit in the sauna, I have a whole new ritual that I'm operating as I'm checking in with my bodies, checking in with my energy field. And I heard this amazing thing I learned from Dr. Zach Bush in Costa Rica. He said, the energy body that you have around you is like your digestive system. If your digestive system has been overloaded for many, many years, it can't deal with foods anymore. Like, it's hypersensitive to certain foods because you've revved it too hard, too far, and your digestive system is just not dealing with it. And Dr. Zach Bush said your energetic body around you is exactly the same. If you don't clean it and cleanse it, it will become clogged, and you can't have clarity of thought. You have fog brain. Everybody irritates you. The world is out to get you. But all this is a bad energetic digestive system. And the exercise that he was teaching us is, imagine this energetic body and then let it clean itself and cleanse itself and spin around you and move around you and give it that attention. And as Dr. Joe says, if you don't believe that there's an energetic body around you, you can never access it. And if you don't believe that 99% of reality is empty, ready for potential, pregnant with potential, you can't access it. And so to spend that time to speak to your energetic bodies, to become aware that cities are invoking different types of your body, what an incredible experience to go and meet all four different types of your bodies and engage with them and befriend them, and then understand what their emotional blocks are and their physical blocks are, and work with them to fix them and bring more alignment. And I'm having the most fun dealing with all of these bodies inside me. I know I sound schizophrenic, but I'm having a great time. Me and all my four friends, we're having a wonderful time.
Listen, I fully agree. And I think that when I lived in Joburg versus who I am today, vastly different. Purely because of the environment that you find yourself in. And we've seen this over and over. I mean, research has shown this by now as well. Your environment dictates so much of how you show up. But I also think it's interesting because Cape Town is at the moment like the startup hub of SA. Like, most of the big, like, innovative tech companies are starting in Cape Town.
That's true.
And so I also think, you know, you'll find a different body for a different person in the city. I find, like, when I go to Cape Town, so we are, like, you know, for those listening, 45 minutes from Cape Town, we're in Somerset West. When I go to Cape Town, it for me is a space of like creativity and I almost want to say like mastery, like, because we mostly go there for the restaurants, and like, you have the most incredible restaurants in Cape Town. And so when I go there, I'm always thinking like it's such a place of creativity, and that's almost what I feel I tap into when I go there. I haven't spent a lot of time in the middle of the city, you know, so maybe if I spend more time there, I would have the same experience as you. But I think to your point, I get to tap into that if I tap in and out of it, which I think ultimately is kind of the point that you're moving to. It's like, find spaces that fuel different parts of you. And I like going to Joburg because I feel like it taps into something that I don't get access to in Somerset West. So yeah, I'm fully with you on that. So if you're new to the pod listening to it today, we speak about money all the time. It's one of our favorite topics to talk about and how to access more of it and how to change your relationship with it. It's a topic that we are both passionate about. I think you really introduced me to it in a big way, and you've helped me to think through it in a big way. And so we love talking about it. And we'll often WhatsApp each other with like new personal records of money into accounts and things like that. But what I wanted to quickly ask you is, so you mentioned this billionaire friend, and I think of guys like Mark Cuban and Elon Musk, and I'm sure these guys do not do meditation. And I'm not sure how much time they spend thinking about their relationship with money and their four bodies with money. How do you reconcile that with the conversation we just had?
Yeah, such a great question, you know. And I think, and I was actually having this discussion with my friend Shane. He's done very well, but he was saying, you know, in the next 20 years, he just wants to make more money. And I said to him, Shane, to what end? You live in a beautiful home with, like, you're winning already. He's like, yeah, but these other guys. I was like, geez, what an exhausting life we all live, right? And what my response to Shane was, is, do you think with people that much money are just destined to have that much money? And then their job is now to work with other scenarios inside their lives, because some people will do all the meditations and all the MBAs and all the deals and all the, and all the, and all the, and all there, and it just doesn't click. And I remember when I was much younger, these guys used to come into the gym and they wanted to be bodybuilders, and they just didn't have the genetics for gym. They just didn't. They could do what they wanted, left, right, and center, meditate, take steroids, do whatever they wanted. They didn't have the physique for it. And I think we also have to realize, and I was saying to Shane, I was like, do you think it's just destiny? Because some guys will just hit it in their 20s, like, boom. And you're like, oh, but you know, also think about like certain women that just find the most beautiful, respectful relationship early on, never have to think about relationships again. And you have other women that are beautiful, just never find a good relationship, or takes them 30 years to find a decent relationship. So I think there is a lot of destiny attached to this that we can't mess with. But I do know that we've all got certain challenges, and some people have physical challenges, financial challenges, relationship challenges. And what you have to do is say, well, what comes easy to me, and focus on those and make them better. But what doesn't come easy to me? And then what am I doing about those things? You know? Mm. And so, yeah, I agree. I don't think they're doing all those things, but I also think that they were destined to be there in some way or another. And now I've got other challenges they have to work with.
Mm. Yeah, I guess also, like, if you, let's take Usain Bolt, for example, you know, like he, there's no doubt that he is genetically predisposed to win in this sort of arena, but he still put in a lot of work to get there. And yeah, like all of these guys, they would have put in a lot of work to get there. Yeah. But if you weren't born, or if you don't have the genetic predisposal that Usain Bolt has, and you want to also run very fast, it's just going to take you a lot more effort, and you might have to do a bit more than he has to do in order to get to that same level. So he does a lot of, and I mean, we're not taking away from any of these guys. They've all put in a lot of work to get to where they are. You know, and this is something I keep thinking about also from like Alex or Mosey point of view. And even this friend of yours you just spoke about, there's no reason for them to still be doing business, but they're still doing it because they still love it. And they're still putting out call to actions. And like, I think about that from my business perspective often. It's like, we don't really do hard sells on social media, right? Like, we don't really say, like, go buy this thing online. Not much. These guys do it all the time. And it's quite funny because, like, in my world, I'm like, that seems like, it seems a bit off to do it. But in their world,
yeah,
they, like, they just do it. You know? Yeah. It's like, because that's how you make money. That's how you build a business.
Yeah.
And so it's so funny because I think we all carry stories with us. And I think their stories, like you're saying, are just different stories. And they might not have the hangups about money, and therefore they get to the money part much earlier, where some of us have the hangups. There we go. We have the hangups about money, and so we have to deal with that to get to that level. So different hangups.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know, some people have physical ones. You know, everybody's got their own ones. So
yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much for everybody joining us. And Mariska, thank you so much for the message. Have you seen there's a live stream message there, Eric, from Mariska? Oh, yeah, me too. I just saw it now.
Okay.
So thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Wonderful to be with all of you. And remember that you can connect with Eric and I on socials. We're always up for a good conversation or suggestion of what we should speak about. And after 280 episodes on winning best podcast in Africa last year and having a best-selling book, we have always got an expansive mindset to learn more, unlearn more, and really help ourselves expand while taking our audience with us. So until next week, stay expansive. Ciao.
Ciao.